What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Shelby Stone. How are you doing?
I'm grand. How's it going?
Oh, good, good. I tell you what, Shelby, your name I've been hearing a lot when it comes to these like really good up-and-comers out of the scene where you are, and I've been looking forward to talking to you, so this is great. I guess what you been up to? You been busy, shows, recording, yeah. Anything like that?
Yeah, man. We're wrapping up the record right now. My first ever like debut record. It's called Silver Ear. Mm-hmm. So we're putting the finishing touches just like on the last like pieces of it, some harmonies, some guitar overdubs and things like that. And it's really just so cool, like watching like all of the pieces kind of fall into place. But shows wise, we had to kind of hit a pause in April because I genuinely all throughout April, I was like, if I can just make it through April, I can make it through anything. Because it was so insane. Like we were super, super busy. And so May was a really nice like breather. I'm trying to figure out like where we were. We had a show last weekend in Arlington, and then we're going to be in Mexico next week, but we've got some gaps now. That way we can just like sign, seal, deliver and get this record done. But we've been really, really busy here recently.
Right on. Right. That's cool to hear. And we'll talk about the record here in a bit, but I just wanted to get started with your sound, your specific sound style. It really stands out to me. It's, you know, of course, the country kind of thing, which, you know, that's comes with the territory, I guess. But there's also like a very unique, I can only describe it as unique, I guess. So how would you describe your own sound?
Depending on who I'm talking to, if I'm talking to somebody that understands the Texas music scene, I can just honestly tell them and be like, yeah, man, we can call it country music. It's like Texas and whatever genre you want to call this kind of country music, it is ever evolving and ever changing. But if I'm talking to somebody that's never heard of me before and they don't typically listen to Turnpike or Ragweed or any of these bands, I'm like, it's rock and roll music. I just happen to own a really nice cowboy hat that I'll occasionally wear. But at the same breath, I've got tunes like Easy Tiger that are full of synth and that are very poppy. And then we've got a Drive-By Truckers cover. That was one of the first ones I put out. So like it's very much unique is honestly the best way to put it. It's just putting out what I like, truth be told. In that mm-hmm. I'm really, really lucky to be in a melting pot of sound when it comes to genre. That like anything, pretty much anything goes. And so I recognize that is a huge blessing because I know that there are some purists.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, the Texas scene right now is like, you hit the nail on the head because it is a melting pot for sure. You got guys like Co, and like, on the other hand, you got like, you know, everybody. It's like rock, grunge, country. It's really cool. So I guess like when it comes to being involved in that scene or that community, do you think that kind of shaped the way your music sounds, I guess? Like if you were in Nashville or somewhere else, do you think it would be different, or is it just something that would always just come out of you?
I honestly think a lot it kind of comes from the roots. I grew up in the rodeo realm. Mm-hmm. My dad was a professional bullfighter. And I've just recently made this connection, so it's like, oh, duh, that makes sense. But all the rough stock in between every ride and every event at rodeos, and specifically rough stock events, it's Nickelback. It's Five Finger Death Punch. Like, it's all of these, like, what some would call shitty rock and roll. I love it. And
not me. I love it.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, I don't care what anyone says. Three Doors Down is one of my favorite songs of all time. Or Kryptonite, excuse me, but one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with pirated music, so I didn't even know what the name of it was for a long time. It was Untitled Track 3.
The little MP3s.
Yeah. I'm like, it looks like a USB. Somebody, like, I don't even know where they came from. I just found them in a drawer one day. But truthfully, just because I started playing music when I was 19. I'm 25 now. Within finding myself as well and finding my sound, I think no matter where I was, it still would have taken a bit of a process, but I still think this same authentic sound, because that's honestly what matters most to me, is like a good honest song or a good honest story. And I'm not a good liar. I'm not. So I think if I had been placed in any other town, they might not be the same, and I might be better at recognizing band names, but I still think we would probably land in the same spot.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, at least for, and kind of going back to like, I've been hearing your name like pop up a lot lately. And has that been like the same to you? Like the last year, 2 years, like, have you seen like the growth at all? Like what's that been like?
It's been really, really weird because since January 1st of 2025, nothing has been the same. Like at all. It's really, really bizarre too, because if you're new to the music industry, no one does anything during the fourth quarter. So I'm coming off of October, a little bit of September, into December, not doing anything, just getting ready for like Steamboat and just laying low, because there's nothing, no one's answering their emails. But so I'd honestly not necessarily become like comfortable in that, but like I would just have like a little, just little blips of like, oh, whew, hell yeah, we got some attention. And then January 1st happened, and then I was gone like the first 2 weeks of January between playing Hangover Ball at Kane's Ballroom and then on the road with Dalton Domino and Lowdown Drifters, and then immediately Steamboat, which I've always wanted to go to Steamboat, but I did not realize that everybody goes to Steamboat, and it is...
It looks incredible.
Dude, it is so overwhelming, but it is so sick. Like, because people are also just there like on vacation, so like there's so much going on. But from that moment, I got to meet a lot of people, shake a lot of hands, kiss a lot of babies, act a fool in front of some of my heroes. Nothing has been the same.
Hell yeah.
I'm not cool. I am not suave. I just happen to take a good photo that makes me look mysterious. But straight up, like every single like week has been either a new offer coming in, or hey, I want you to meet with this person. Hey, pick up the phone. This is so and so, and it's like, what is happening? it's been really, really cool. Nothing before.
Have you had that like So have you had that like oh shit moment? I guess whether it be Stagecoach or playing at Kane's, I think you said like, have you had like that moment where you had to kind of take it all in? Like, wow, like this is actually happening. We're doing this. Like, does anything pop off the top of your head?
Oh yeah, I was really, really blessed with the offer to open for Turnpike in Nashville at the beginning of March this year.
Ooh man,
at a brand new venue, and it was the first time I had to rent a van to get. And I'd also never played in Nashville. Before that, I'd been there one time, and I was there for like 36 hours. And two meetings fell through, had a sick co-writing session, and like a single meal. It was great. I really did have a great time, but I had no other experience. So on top of playing in Nashville, like regardless of what any jaded artist wants to say, playing in Nashville is really cool. It's sick. It's where everybody is. You never know who's going to be there. Like, as a young artist, it's cool. And you can call it cool. Also, Turnpike! What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And everybody out at... It was at the Pinnacle. And mind you, like, Deadmau5 had played the night before. Or I think Casey Musgraves. One of the two, because there was still stage, like, stuff from the stage props, like, left residue on the stage. And it was like, oh my God, she was here. But like I had two like major, like, oh my God, like this is real. I'd walked into the like backstage area. And not only did I have a green room, but I actually had two green rooms, one for myself and then one for the band. I'm used to having like a curtain in the corner of some bar. And you know, I get two green rooms. And walking into to my green room and seeing, I have a very simple writer. I have a very simple appetite. I'm sorry. I think my camera keeps unfocusing. But it's,
you're good.
Uncrustables, specifically grape jelly, extra cheddar goldfish, and at the time, yellow Red Bulls, which I have now changed it to a white peach, Red Bull. But,
that's a solid meal,
right? You get your carbs, protein, sugar, you're good. And I just like sat there and was like, oh my God, which mind you, I've had people fulfill my rider before, but I did not expect such a large venue and such a large show to pay attention to like a minor detail like that. So I cried. And then I was sitting with the band. We were working on harmonies. And then I just hear that specific fiddle part to Tornado Warning, because Turnpike is now sound checking. And that is my favorite Turnpike song of all time. And so I just kind of stood up. I'm sorry. I kind of stood up and was like, hey, y'all figured this out. And so I stood in the balcony and just sobbed while I'm like watching them like actually be frustrated because like someone's pack's not working or something like that. And it's like, this is like almost out of body kind of a experience of just like, this is real. And then we left that night. Like I didn't have enough to, I didn't have enough money like prior to the show to even get a hotel for everyone like there that night. So we just immediately had to leave after the show. It was, I stayed and watched Turnpike because Molly Tuttle came out. Big fan.
Oh yeah. You got to.
Right. But I got to like meet with so many people there at WME, and just everybody there was so professional and so kind. And not once did I feel that I was I have a perpetual fear of being backstage and somebody going, you're not supposed to be back here. No, it's, I'm like walking up to sound check and I'm like, are y'all sure we're playing today? I can leave actually. it's okay. But nobody there, like everyone there was just so kind, so professional, so welcoming. And that was, it was, I am sober, so I don't know that I'm using the word right, but it was such a sobering moment of like, I'm not doing what I used to be doing. Like things are so different now. And
yeah,
God is so good. Like it was so cool. Oh, oh my God.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's awesome. And like, yeah, it's great to hear like shit's going great for you. And like when it comes to progressing, like with your career like that, do you like creatively or artistically or anything, do you find yourself evolving in that way along with it? Like, hey, I want to try out this new thing in the studio, something like that?
Absolutely. So I actually got my degree in music business. But honestly, because group projects are the bane of my existence, the degree had more of an emphasis on recording and engineering. So we'd be in the studio and I'd never get to actually work anything, but I got to actually hands-on do a lot of stuff because they wouldn't hire talent. So I am intermediate at best, but there's a lot of like production side of things that I'm finding right now specifically that there's no such thing as like just having like a basic understanding of what to do in the studio. Like it's all or nothing, man. Like to get, for me, my brain at least, I'm like, I have to go all the way down to like the electrode firing off to understand really how a compressor works. But I spent a healthy, I think it was maybe February, trying every single synth I had as a plug-in option on Logic, because I was like, I want to play with these sounds. I want to find something different, because I'm self-taught on guitar, which means not that good. And I was finding my it's just not that good. I can campfire chord any chord you want, but it is what it is. But doing a lot of that, trying to just like break down, when I think about like creating, I think of like four walls, and to make sure I'm not making the same thing twice every time I sit down to create, try to break down one of the walls like each time of like habitual things that I do. And so it's, and honestly, just like listening to different kinds of music and reading different, like I'm an avid reader, and just looking and seeing what everyone else is doing, not in the sense of like I want to copy them, but like, that was cool, what was that, that was sick, how do I incorporate, like I've got the leading track on the record, it's called Fire Escape, and when I first wrote it, it like demoed it out here at the office, I found this like sick vocal doubling thing where it had like a low octave, kind of like a mainly a dude's voice, but more robotic to go underneath on this specific pre-chorus. Not a creative thing I came up with. EDM does that all the time. And I love EDM music, but like just, and obviously everybody does, but it's just been taking little moments like that. And if, what is it? Adapt or die, evolve or die. I'm not really sure how that figure of speech goes, but
Adapt and overcome, maybe? I don't know.
That sounds way better. Much more encouraging. but no, I love creating. I think it's so cool. There's just, there's no wrong way to do it. Unless there's AI.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, right on. That's awesome. And I guess we could talk, let's go ahead and talk about your upcoming album, Silver Year. So first off, I like to know, who's all the personnel you got on this? Like, aside from you, like with like band or do you record like with your band or like how's that whole deal work?
I have a studio band. I've got a touring band. And on the production team of this record, it's Dalton Domino leading the way. PH Naffa, he plays for Roger Klein and the Peacemakers as well as the Refresh. He played for the Refreshments. Mm-hmm. If you like King of the Hill, you love PH Naffa. Wrote the
love
theme song.
King of the Hill.
Ouch. TV show of my childhood. Jeff Lesby Brault, he is the lead mix master, all the whole nine yards. He's so good at what he does. And then like band wise, because PH plays drums, Dalton plays guitar. And then there's Nick Sterling, which we just brought him in on these like back song, like these last few songs that we recorded. And he's very, very talented. My mind was blown. He laid like a guitar part on this tune I've got called Claw Marks. I cried. Yes, I am emotional, but like it was just so cool. He was harmonizing with himself. It was so sick.
Yeah.
Nick Sterling, Nick Skropos plays bass. Yeah, I think that's everybody. It's a pretty tight little circle. We record out in Arizona. Because my band right now, like I finally have locked in my band, but it is a band of hired guns. And so having the same people that helped me record the first few songs that we put out, it definitely helps keep the cohesive sound of the record.
For sure. And this is going to be kind of a broad question, so sorry about that. But what about like themes or like anything with the album? Is there a certain theme or a certain story you want to tell with it? Anything like that? Anything specific?
Yeah. The way that I've found best to describe it is kind of just like the coming of age of like being in your mid-20s and the weirdness of it. The best way I know how to describe it is like putting a wild horse in the middle of a department store where the horse is really, you know what I mean? Like the horse is really freaked out.
I know very well what you mean.
You're really freaked out. No one's doing anything like yet, but the potential of either disaster or something very, very cool happening is very high, like high risk, high reward. That's mainly the story that amongst these songs is just like navigating breakups, navigating friendship breakups, navigating friends, navigating what am I doing with my life? Like you mean to tell me I'm the adult in the room? That's horseshit, but okay. To each their own. You know, they say you've got your whole life to write your first record, but I didn't start writing songs till the end of 2021. So all of these songs have been written within the time of me coming into being 25, and which is also the nod to the name Silver Year. It's typically for anniversaries, but still makes sense. If that makes any sense. I don't know that it does. Yeah.
No, that makes perfect sense. I'm 25 as well, and that perfectly explains how life's been for 5 years.
It's
so I'm
weird.
Looking forward to it.
That makes me feel actually a lot better that you get it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned there you've been writing, you know, not for a really long time. So I guess this is going to come out kind of stupid, so bear with me. But when it comes to getting into writing versus getting into playing music, was that a big step to take, or was it challenging? Was it easy? Like how'd that go for you?
For me, playing shows came first before I started writing, because I changed my major. I quit my job. I played my first like bar gig Valentine's Day of 2020. Then the world shut down. But
yeah.
So I, and even then I didn't really write just because I didn't know how, truth be told. So I was just playing the bar gigs and playing the cover gigs and making probably the most money I've ever seen in my entire life from those shows. And it was a lot of fun and it taught me how to have stage presence. But then, I found the Larry Joe Taylor Songwriter, showcase and entered it just to see. Cause I was like, maybe they'll give me feedback. Like if I don't make it in, well, I fucked around and made it in.
Mm-hmm.
The lineup had come back and it was like Slade Coulter, Jacob Stelly. I think Stelly was on there. Parker Ryan, Braxton Keith, Jordan Nix, all of these bands that I was actively listening to. It was like, what the fuck did I just sign up for? Oh my God. And so I go and do it. I do really bad. And anyone that was there, they'll probably be like, no, it wasn't that bad. No, it was that bad. It's okay. I was scared shitless. We can call a spade. But afterwards, I had talked to Larry Joe and just like thanked him for the time, like for just the opportunity to, because I didn't even think I'd get it that far. And he was like, man, he was like, you could sing the alphabet and people will cry. He's like, but you just got to work on the song part of it. He was like, do you ever co-write? And I was like, no. What is that? Like, mm-hmm. Everybody that I was playing shows with was also doing the cover bar thing. And this is not, they love what they do. Everyone's got a different definition of success and they're more concerned about keeping the lights on. Like that's more, important to them. Like it's to keep the lights on and to be able to just hang out and things like that. They're also, a lot of them were in their mid 30s and not trying to find themselves as a young songwriter, like kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was not necessarily they wouldn't write with me. It's just not what we do. And I didn't know who to go to. Yeah. And I didn't know where to start. And I honestly struggled with that for a really long time, but it took a while. I found some people and started trying to do more of the writing thing, but shows came first before the writing for me, at least. Not that it's the right way or the wrong way.
Yeah. And you mentioned a few names there like Stelly and Slade and all them. And that brings me to think about Dalton, mm-hmm. Dalton Domino. For those who don't know, he is an alien and he's a great musician, great songwriter. And he's, is Honcho, that's not a thing anymore. It's different now, right?
Yeah, like, no, they ended up dissolving it last year.
Okay. So I guess, tell us how you got involved with Dalton. Cause he seems like an absolute, like the greatest guy from everyone I've heard from and like really takes care of artists.
Absolutely. He has a very divine gift with artist development and mentorship. It's, the whole time before I made it into Honcho, like I have found like six different tweets of mine saying that, which like, girl, you made your point the first time, relax. But all I've ever wanted was someone to tell me what to do. I will do it. I just don't know what I'm doing. And I don't want to keep doing something that not necessarily is harming me, but it's not growing my career by any means. And I had a handful of people try to come in and pretend to do that. And then once I started working with Dalton, it was just like, oh my God. He and watching him work with other artists and other young songwriters, it's like, you are very good at what you do. Damn. But how I got involved with them, Jacob Stelly and Parker Ryan were playing at the Mule Barn in Justin, Texas. I was living in Decatur at the time, which is not far from there. And a buddy of my boyfriend's was going to come out to the show. And my boyfriend hadn't seen him in a while. So we're like, yeah, fuck it. We'll go. I remember I felt like shit. I didn't have a lick of makeup on. It was really, really loud. Cause if you've ever been to a Parker Ryan show, it's really, really loud. And I was just like, not a big deal. And I remember I was sitting with some friends and I was looking down at my phone and I hear people whisper and I was like, what is going on? I just hear him go, that's Dalton. That Dalton Domino's here. And I just see like some shoes walk by and I was like, so? You are not too cool to care. You could think that shit's cool, but God. Afterwards, his name's Paxton Waitman. He used to be Pecos and the Rooftops photographer and a handful of
know Paxton.
Everyone knows Paxton. He was like, hey, you gotta come meet Stelly and Parker. And so I go over and I meet Stelly, and at the time I like literally days prior, I had cut the vocals for a school project, which ended up being my first release, but it was House of the Rising Sun. And Stelly and I have like a great conversation, and he's so kind, still is kind. I'm talking about him like he's dead, but I don't know why I'm doing that. But he was so just
recipe stuff,
right? No, but he was so, so kind. And I just remember like wanting to just, oh, wow, I wish. Because he was like, do you have any music? Like, I'd love to hear like what you've got. And I was like, I have nothing, nothing at all. Because I literally just had recorded those like days prior. And then fast forward, man, I'd say six-ish months. I don't know. Time's a flat circle. But I was at a photo shoot and it was so hot, and I'd been in front of the camera for like a hot second, and I get back over to my phone and I see that Dalton has messaged me, and it's just like, hey, give me a shout, here's my cell. I did not realize that he had just sent that. I thought that message had at least been sitting there for like at least 5 minutes. I immediately called him. I looked super desperate. He was like, oh wow, you called really fast. And I was like, oh, I can hang up and try again. It's okay.
When Dalton wants you to call, you call.
Right, yeah. Sorry, I have a sense of urgency. But yeah, we just got on the phone and he just told me what he does, and he wanted to see what I do. And I ended up going down to College Station, I think a few weeks after that, and then by every means of the phrase, the rest was history. Like, I don't know that he wanted to work as closely with me as he initially did, or if I just wouldn't leave him alone. Not sure.
Well, it shows initiative. And I mean, that, yeah. Like, there is truth to that. I mean, like, that's the name of the game, right? Like, if you want to be something, be someone, like, you got to show initiative and work hard. And I'm sure he, you know, drives it out of you too. Like, he makes sure you do.
Yeah. It was just so nice having somebody that knew the answers to all these questions that I've had for years of just like, dude, what do I do? And it not, and on all of his answers, and not just him, but his wife and Carly Brassel, who was working like right-hand man, like everyone just knew what they were talking about. And if they didn't, it was like, that's a good question, let me call somebody. And then they'd call, and it was just such a wealth of knowledge amongst everybody there. And then you've got the songwriting aspect of it too, with Jordan Nix and Parker and Slade and stuff. Like, it was, I had a field day, and I still have a field day. Like, the connections I've made through Honcho and through Dalton and all of them, like, ugh, it's such a good community.
Yeah. And being in a community, like the Texas scene is great, but I feel like in Dalton's camp, like, that alone is its own like universe in a way. Like, sure. Like all those, when I think of like you or Slade or Stelly, like I automatically think, all right, Dalton Domino's like group. And I think that's a really cool thing to be a part of. It just seems like it'd be a really good, you know, place to be in.
Absolutely. And Dalton hates when I give him like all this credit and I'm like super kind. He's like, stop. Like, our relationship is very much based around harassment and bullying. So like, when I have the opportunity to talk about how good he is at his job without him here, I definitely take a hold of it. But he is very song first, and you can see that with every single one of Slade, Stelly, Parker, George, like everyone's records and all of their music is just very song first and very fan rewarding after. Like, it, the ecosystem that he creates and his fingerprints that are all over it, it's just like, this is what makes good music, this is what makes a good artist. And it is such a phenomenal foundation for everyone to build off of. And it also gives artists a way to have longevity. It's not just flash in the pan, low-hanging fruit, pandering virality, which there's nothing wrong with it. And every artist that has really beef with virality is just, are you projecting? Like, we can call it what it is. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to be successful. But
yeah,
if any of those names that I just listed off, if any of them, Lightning in a Bottle, goes viral, they've got the songs to back it up, and they've got the stage presence to back it up, yep. And they've got the band to back it up. Like, it's just an equation for success. It's so sick.
For sure. And being a part of not just that specific group of people, like a music community like that, and as close-knit as everyone is out there, how does one balance, like, I don't know if competition is the right word, but just like, I want to, like, you know, you always want to, like, compete. Like, that's healthy, yeah. I think, to do.
Absolutely.
But how do you balance that and just like the friendship and like camaraderie aspect? Like, does that ever get like tangled, or is it pretty even keel?
I can only speak on my experiences with it because I happen to be a young lady. So there's like a weird air that people will put around other female artists. Like, I remember like Presley Hale was about to start rolling out some stuff, and she was about announcing some shows with Flatland and things. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, but it was so weird because I wasn't very close with this person, but they were like, oh, did you see like what Presley was posting? Yeah, dog, she texted me when she got the offer in. I found out about the Turnpike show in March while I was at her house. Like, this is old, mm-hmm. not old news, but like, this, what is happening here? And then I even will have like concert goers come up to me and be like, you know, I like your voice. They like my voice because it sounds like I've been chewing on gravel since I was 9. But they're like, it doesn't have like that high register. And then they'll try to name drop some other female artists. And I'm like, nope. This is actually not the space for that. Because I'll go to war for these women. But when it comes to the competition element of it, I know I genuinely have to check myself and be like, all right, girl, go take a lap, go touch some grass. But I'll find myself envious of certain things. And it's like we have two completely different sounds. Like, just like we were talking about earlier. My sound is very unique in certain billings and things like that. Like, that's going to make a difference in what shows I get and what shows I don't get. And it's not that I'm bad. Like, this is talent fire and buzz and like all of these things. Like, I have to rationalize and do all of that. But there at the beginning, I used to have bright green eyes in the sense of jealousy. If you don't check it, it will isolate you very, very quickly. Because at the end of the day, we all want to see each other succeed and we all want to eat. But, I found when I can, because I got over that pretty quickly just because I have been very tunnel visioned on like what I'm doing, that I'm more just happy to see my friends succeeding in a difficult market to succeed in, for the dudes, no idea, but not to make that like a chick dude thing. I just know that listeners oddly will place that kind of energy in there where it's like, oh no, that wasn't even what we were doing at all. You totally, she's wearing a full what, like vintage Western getup, and I'm wearing leather pants that I have split since being on stage. Two completely different vibes here.
the Toyota-thon shirt, by the way, that I saw it on your Instagram. Like, I am kicking myself right now. I have that exact same shirt, and I should have worn it. I'm kicking myself for not wearing it.
Dude, the Cincinnati, though, that's pretty good. I immediately noticed your shirt when we got on.
gotta represent.
I love those kinds of shirts. I think they're so ridiculous. I just got one the other day. It's got a stupid picture of a cat, and it's like, you've hebe'd my jeebies, like... I've got another one that I just got in the mail yesterday that just says Public Menace. Like, I love those shirts. Yeah. But yeah, no, that t-shirt, we got real dingy and I was like, it's LJT main stage. I need something that's a little, I guess, unhinged and like fun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The only downfall, cause like I have that same thing, like my entire like closet is filled with just goofy shirts. So like the problem is when you have to go to church or something or a funeral or something, it's like, I have nothing to wear.
Nothing.
I can't wear anything.
Nothing at all. That it's either that or like the single blazer I've got in the back of my closet. Like,
yeah.
What am I supposed to wear?
I got a polo that's like two sizes too short on me. Like, I'll throw a polo on, I guess. I don't know.
I absolutely get that. Cause I can't remember. Oh, I got like my LLC started and all that kind of stuff. And I had to go into the bank to like set all this kind of stuff up. I'm like looking at my closet. I'm like, I dress like someone's dad in the 90s on a good day. What am I supposed to wear to this? And thankfully, like, my mom, she was a paralegal. She's an accountant. Like, she's very up to date on business casual. She was like, dude, you work in the music industry, dress like your job. And I was like, oh shit. Okay, cool. Still probably not going to wear my Toyota Mon shirt though.
Man. But, you kind of hit on it a bit with the women in the music industry and everything. And this is like my favorite thing to ask, women artists is that, well, in the blanket term is like, it's not easy for them in country music, right? But right. I'm curious to know your thoughts on like the Texas country scene. And don't get yourself in trouble. You could say whatever.
Right,
you may not
right.
have to answer if you don't want. But I am very curious to know like what you think of the whole thing.
It's odd. Depending on what day of the week it is, I will despise it and then the next day be grateful for it. Because I've had talent buyers look me in the eye and tell me that the only reason I'm on a bill is because I am a young lady. And that's fine. Hit your 10%. That's okay. I get it. I'll take it. I'm only going to be hot for so long. But there are some other days that it's like, gag, can we move on? Like, we're still doing this. It's what's the word I'm looking for? I'm more interested in your song, in your show, and how kind you are than if you're a dude or you're a chick. I heard a podcast the other day where it was like this guy was saying that he likes female artists now, but he used to resent them because he didn't get where they were coming from. Okay. That's a weird thing to say. Like, it's things like that, like that will often come up. And then I've found that if I continue to do what I do, and I stay authentic to what I'm doing, and I continue to be kind, and I don't pander. I don't pander. Yeah. I just happen to be hot on a good day when I take a bath and I self tan. You see how the list just kind of keeps growing. I have days where I am societally attractive, and that is really, really cool. And I can sing. God has blessed me with a really cool gift to be able to sing. My songwriting has nothing to do with the fact that I am a woman for the most part. Mm-hmm. I can't grasp, because I do write for me, but I also hope that somebody gets it if they hear this song, and I don't want to isolate groups just over something like that. I don't know if that makes any sense. It is a bit of a complex thing. I think we are entering into the realm now that it is far easier for women to kind of get like some good traction going. Like, initially my senior thesis was going to be, I was going to call it the founding fathers of Texas music, but I was going to write it about all the women, and it was going to be about Judy Hubbard, Ray Wiley's wife, Shannon Canada, Miss Ragweed herself, Jamie Lynn Wilson, Courtney Patton, Bree Bagwell, Caitlin Butts, all of these women that walked so I could run. But then my professor was like, you need something that you can sell. And I was like, that's fine. I can go fuck myself.
What the fuck?
I was like, okay. He was like, there's no product here. And it's like, me, I'm the product. But whatever. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if... like now, like it's we really are, like, even with the struggles and roadblocks that we'll run into, I know that they are nowhere comparable to the past generations. I think of it a lot like freshman classes and graduating classes. It's like the alumni paid their dues. my measly dimes thrown in the offering plate are nothing in comparison. So I'm grateful that I'm grateful for the work that they've done, so that way we have an easier time getting in.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think as a listener and a fan, like, I would really like to say it's gotten better, at least from the fans. Now, when I see like a festival lineup and there's like one woman on it and it's just like, you know, bottom of the bill.
Oh,
like,
yeah. They always put you in the bottom that, right like, corner.
Yeah. Third, the Sunday at the very bottom or like the after party or some shit. It's like, come on.
It's the noon slot on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. I think it's definitely getting traction for sure, I think. And
I think slowly, because I had a really cool conversation with one of the artists I named. I don't want to get them in trouble by any means, but it was
it's fine.
It was International Women's Day, and so I made like a really big. I did learn there can be a character count on your Instagram caption that day, but I didn't know, but I tagged her in it, and she texted me, and she was like, I really needed that. She's like, cause I just turned down a festival because I don't play, she goes, I don't play noon slots anymore. I can't, like, it's especially in the middle of the summer. I can't do it. Like, I've done them for so long. If you want me on there, find a different time slot and I'll come do it. But I'm not doing the noon slot. And she was like, and I felt really shitty for for declining the offer. And she was like, so this was a really nice reminder of like, no, like this, we got to keep working. It's just an uphill battle, but no different than I'm really, really grateful that I am not an averagely attractive white guy in whitewashed Wranglers. I'm really glad that I have blue hair.
There's plenty of them out there.
Yeah, like that's a super saturated market. I'm really, really glad. Thank you, Zach Bryan, for opening up those floodgates and those things. I don't even mean that as like shade. That was a super cool phenomenon.
It's
but I'm
fun
glad.
To poke at him sometimes.
Right? Yeah. But I'm glad that I don't wear white Wrangler like some of these boys do, because I do think it would be even harder, not going to lie, on certain days to break in.
Yeah. Hell yes.
I hope I don't get in trouble for that.
I think it's. No. I hope not. Just let me know and we'll take it down.
Word, thanks.
Shifting gears a bit, I, like probably most people who listen to this, am a gigantic live music fan, and I feel very heavily that the live show is what makes the fans and what keeps them coming back. And I'm curious to know how would you describe your live show? I have not been to one of your shows, but it looks electric. So I would like to know how you would describe it.
It is a swift kick to the jaw. Truly. because I am really lucky just to be the opener right now. So I've only got 45 minutes to blow you away, and it is fast. There is some ballady songs there in the middle that I've got 25 years worth of rage to deliver them with. And we end on Dalton's song, Rock and Roll Should Kill You. It's just unadulterated rock and roll. It just depends on what I wear that day, depending on the genre. It is electric. That was a very good word for it. They're fast. They're upbeat. They're fun. When I played in Stillwater for the Boys from Oklahoma, I think it was called the Gravy Train Reserve. I got so hot and we were doing so much that I had to run off stage and puke and then come back and finish. Like, it's just.
That's rock and roll.
Like, it was. Dalton even told me, he was like, this is the most rock and roll thing you've ever done. At least I have one moment.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. How was that experience? Because that was like basically Red Dirt Woodstock. And literally. I would like to hear your whole take on it.
My take on that. Shit is falling on the floor. That was such a historically monumental weekend that like almost supersedes even just the concept of Ragweed getting back together. Like, just a pinnacle moment of years and years and generations of songwriters developing into other songs. Like, just the domino effect that has created an entire sound, an entire market. A market that is enviable from other markets, all just into a 4-day weekend. It was insane. Mm-hmm. I hung out in the pit for a good while, towards the back of the pit. I'm in the wrong industry to be so anti-crowd, because a crowd is usually a good sign. But I get anxious. But I was super lucky to be able to go up and sing with Cody. So I had to go back, like walked out of the pit to go side stage, and just like turning and looking and seeing how many people, and that was on the Thursday. That wasn't even on like any, like, I don't know what day had the most people, but like, oh my God, this is bigger than anything. Like, the lore behind like them getting back together and Boone Pickens Stadium and Mike McClure and like all Dierks Bentley was there, and I also kind of made an ass out of myself in front of him, not realizing it was Dierks Bentley. Like, just it was oddly like a family reunion and like almost like a graduation ceremony of just like seeing years of hard work and years of development and sacrifice into this.
Yeah,
it was so I'm super glad that I had the opportunity to get on stage and sing. I did really bad. I did not do very well, and anyone that tries to tell me that I did good, you're a bold-faced liar, because I heard the videos too. But I was so honored to be able to do that, but I was honestly more honored at the fact of getting to witness this like moment. It was so cool. Oh my God, it was so cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a definitely, and I didn't even go, but like I used to live in Stillwater. I know like the lore and everything. So like being able to like just being like states away in Kentucky and just seeing all the posts and seeing all the hype leading up to it, it's like, this is gonna be like historical.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is gonna be something that we're going to remember for a while. And it's really shaping up to be that way. Just like, when was it, April, I think, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's only been like a month and a half. It's fucking crazy. So and congrats. I'm glad you're a part of that too. That's awesome.
It was really special. I'm still getting videos on my For You page of the guest appearances that came out. I'm like, hell yeah. It's like June. Let's go. But it's really cool. Yeah. Really. I was really very, very honored to be a part of that.
Yeah. Awesome. So hitting on, I'd like to hit on one more thing that's always kind of interesting to me. And when it comes to like the current state of the music industry, it's pretty safe to say that social media and the TikToks and all that is pretty important. And the answers I get to this question is always different. And how are you able to kind of like pilot that when it comes to like, oh, like, do you have trouble with the socials and like being able to stay on top of it? Or I'm like, when I went and looked at all your pages, you seem pretty damn like up, you know, good TikToks, good everything. But I'm like, for you, like, was that hard to kind of get into? Or
honestly, I've always been annoying, just from day one. I recognize the tool that social media is, but I grew up on a part of the internet that I did not know a lot of things were modified or things were altered because it was not stated. And so it really skewed a lot of the things in my perception of like viewing so much. So I absolutely treat my social media like a job, and a highlight reel, but a job. I have, like, even back, I remember I used to tell people all the time, even back when I had like 2,000 followers, something minimal, I have to treat it as if everybody that follows me is just itching to know what I'm posting. Because if not, that way I can just post it and just go about my way. Because if I sit there and refresh, look at the numbers and things like that, I will go insane and I will lose my mind. But it's, I recognize the frustrations with it that a lot of artists have. And there are days that I'm like, yes. Honestly, my frustrations most is that everyone wants to announce things at 10 a.m. and I don't hardly ever wake up before 10 a.m. and I want to make sure that's a good post. But I don't have any problems with it now, especially because I do like We've got some things that we have taken the time in advance to prepare to roll out that I'm like, I cannot wait for y'all to see this. It's going to be so sick. But like, I hear and I can resonate with the other artists that find disdain towards it. Because TikTok, this is also the thing too. I have come to terms with TikTok does not think I am funny, hot, or talented. So I just post whatever I want. Nothing sticks.
Well, that's what the people want to see anyway. Just like the you know, the funny shit that like pops up out of nowhere and then boom, you got a follower.
Exactly. Now it's, I think there's a time and place for it. I posted something on my story the other day because someone was like, what do you, like, what advice do you have for like young songwriters? Which it's like, I don't know, join the club. I don't have any idea. But the thing that I found is like most beneficial is like, I made the comment about like finding a songwriter night and like building a community, iron sharpens iron, but putting to, you also need to balance your playing shows posting ratio. I think I wrote it down, but if you only post, you don't gain the experience to put on a good show so that like you've gained all these people and they have nowhere to go watch you. But if you only play shows and you don't post, whoever you've got at your shows, they don't have anywhere to keep up with you and like retain people to come out to them. And so like there's a time and place for it. I wish that what I'm hearing from other people in the industry is that like kind of the higher ups in the industry that like, I guess label people, I'm not sure, but they care very much about the follower number. But personally I have 15,000, I just hit 15,000 followers on Instagram this week. And that was really cool. I think I've got about 30,000 monthly listeners.
Well, yeah, I see that too. Like the podcast thing is the exact same. Like I got 42,000 on Instagram, and then it's just like the listeners on Spotify aren't quite that same number.
Yeah.
Like, so you're completely right. I completely understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. The live show, I don't know. Monthly listeners is a whole different thing, and it irritates me. Not because my numbers are low, sorry, but just because of how like it fluctuates, and because it fluctuates, why are we basing things off of it? It's like women's jean sizes. You can't just say you're an 8. Like it depends on what store you're in. But no, I 1,000% can empathize and see where artists come from when they're like, this is the worst part of the job because all I wanted to do was to write songs. Absolutely. But if you want to, there, you can be a songwriter or you can be an artist. There's not a bad definition between the two of them, but if all you want to do is write songs, you don't have to do this part. But if you want to be an artist, you are a brand, you are a product, and that comes with good marketing. There's no shame in it either. Yeah. It's just
right. Business. Amen. Yeah.
We all figure it out eventually.
Yep, just about riding that, you know, riding that road, trying to make it work. And Shelby, thanks a lot for hopping on. This was a very fun conversation, and I'm very excited to see what you got to come, especially with your upcoming album. And us at Rage Rowdy, we're fans of yours. So thanks a lot for this. And before we head out though, shows. You could, if you have a date for the album, anything about the album you want to talk about, the floor is yours.
Thanks. Right now, we've got a bunch of really, really sick shows coming up. I haven't hardly played out of the state too much, but for like the next three, four months, we got a lot. Like, we're going to Circus Mexicus next week and then Jackalope Jamboree in Pendleton, Oregon. So excited. Born and Raised is one of my favorite festivals of all time. Dalton snuck me into it in like 2022 and had me come do harmonies for him the day before. He was like, hey, meet me in Oklahoma tomorrow. And I was like, what? But that festival like changed my life, like chemically altered my brain. So I'm really excited for that. We've got Thunder Ridge with Turnpike and Treaty Oak. Insane. At William Clark Green in Bottomlands. Which I'm seeing that Bottomlands name come up a whole lot more here recently. And I've been meaning to dive in. They're really nice.
Okay, noted.
Yeah, I mean, the name has been popping up, but I'm like, all right, I'll go dig in. But in state, we've got Tanglefoot Fest, which is in Temple, and that's Parker, Randy, Mark Chestnut, I think Cody Jinks. There's a whole bunch. There's just like a Braun Brothers reunion. Like, we are.
Oh yeah.
Booked and busy, and I am so excited about it. It's. I'm like, we're like in a real band. It's crazy.
I know. It's happening. Awesome. So, well, what about plugs? Or I mean, like your socials, where people can find you and stuff like that?
Everywhere that I can have a profile, the handle is The Shelby Stone. God dog it. The Shelby Stone. Shelby like the car, Stone like the rock. I promise I'm a little more buttoned up on it. I'm not even going to lie to the people. I'm not buttoned up on Instagram. I try to keep it honest. Yeah, everywhere that you can find music is just Shelby Stone. There's not a ton out right now, but we're getting there. Yeah, that's I simplified. I found a handle that was available on all of them, and so I have locked in on it.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. But everyone, you make sure to do that for sure. Shelby is the shit. She has very good music that everyone, quite frankly, needs to hear. And everyone also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Just Google us. We'll fucking show up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Shelby, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next time.
See ya.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?